This morning, we are transitioning from our series on spiritual warfare into our subject that will begin next week. And I'll tell you a little bit about that subject as the sermon progresses. But at the beginning of the year, one of the things I shared in establishing the preaching calendar was on Fifth Sundays, we wanted to have a specific focus on Christ. And it's not that spiritual warfare doesn't have focus on Christ, but specifically on those mornings to have a message that is very evangelistic, very honoring of Christ and our need to believe in Him. And so this morning, I would encourage you to give your ears for attentive listening. Those of you who are not saved, to hear the words that the Scripture shares. And for those of you who are saved, to allow these words to remind you of what a great salvation it is that we have in preparing your hearts for the taking of the Lord's Supper here in a few moments. I just want to share with you this. As I try to think of the message this week, I wanted to use something that was relevant, had been going on in our society. And many of you are aware of that whole Cash for Clunkers initiative. It's been in the news. We saw that it ended on Monday, this past Monday night, right? There are those who applauded the government for the fresh idea of this giving of money for old cars, for the idea that it helps build consumers' confidence, it helps get people spending money, right? Others jeered at the government's inability to really think through the issue, to supply money. You saw it ran out of money really early and it had to go back and offer more money. They've had issues with dealers not getting paid. They've had issues with what do you do with the old junk cars and what do you do with the engines that are in the old cars, and just a lack of understanding of how that really doesn't affect the economy in the way that they want it, right? So there's opinions on every side of the issue, and oftentimes we see that through our political lens. Quite honestly, if you're a Democrat, it's more likely that you think it was a good idea. If you're a Republican, more likely that you would not agree to it. And sometimes that's bad how we see things, but that's just the reality. But my point is not to give the merits of the Cash for Clunkers, but it's this. I would say that's not an original idea. Some people think it is an original idea, but it really is not an original idea. In fact, it's not the first exchange program where people have exchanged something that's worn out, beat up, old, seemingly useless for something that is infinitely greater. The greatest exchange program was Christ for sinners. Christ's life, death, resurrection for sinners. The greatest exchange program ever made is what we proclaim as the gospel. I want you to just listen to a couple of verses as we get our mind in that frame. Isaiah 53, many of you are familiar with this passage. Verses 4 through 6. Surely he has borne our griefs, and he carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each have turned to our own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. We see that as well in the New Testament. Ray read it in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake, he, being God, made him, Jesus. So God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Awesome exchange. We see it again in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the Spirit. God exchanged Christ for us. And to display this point more forcefully, more just drawing this illustration out, what I want to do is to take that initiative, that cash for clunkers. And it's not that it's a great or a bad thing, but it's just relevant. And what I want to do is I want to walk through the offers in that cash for clunkers, and I want to compare it to God's great exchange of Christ for sinners. And this morning in doing that, I'm going to use a text that is very simple, one passage, one that you're all familiar with, but it so pointedly expresses this exchange. And that is John chapter 3, verse 16. So if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn there. Just one verse. Most of you probably would be able to quote it, although in today's society, less and less are able to do so. Hear these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. All right, let's walk through about five different points regarding these different exchanges. One, what was the motive for the exchange? Okay, and the cash for clunkers, what was the motive for that whole program? Well, some can say, well, it was to help the economy. Others would say, well, it provided jobs for individuals because they're going to have to make new cars because you're buying new cars. Some would say it was a political PR move. Others would say it was for political gain, right? There's all over the spectrum reasons that it was done. But in Christ for sinners, there is one motive. One motive behind the process, and that was the love of God. In verse 16, for God so loved the world. The foundational motive to our redemption, to Christ being exchanged for us, was God's deep, eternal, everlasting love for sinners. I want you just to consider some of these passages in Scripture. It was nothing that we did, nothing that anyone in this room has done. And we stress that over and over because when you walk out on the street, what we hear time and time again is, I'm a good person. It does not matter. Salvation is not based on good things because none of us are good enough. None of us would ever, ever obtain God's righteous standard, much less be forgiven by doing good things. That's not God's way. That's not his plan. That's not the way he has ordained salvation to come. None of us are deserving. None of us warranted it. None of us demanded it. It wasn't as if God had to give it to us. But because of his love, he has moved. Listen, look at these verses with me. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. And then Romans and 1 John. We'll just look at these very quickly. But I want you to see, because I want this to be ingrained in your mind, the motive behind our redemption. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And even as he chose us, let's look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love. The whole process of redemption, what he's about to say, is predicated because of God's love. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Look over at chapter 2. Same idea. These aren't new passages to you, but consider them in the framework of why God did it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. But you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the curse of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. What we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the evil one. And when we were dead in our sins, we were following after the prince of this world. Verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Every saint, every individual who has been redeemed by the power of Christ, this was what we were. And for us to ever get arrogant and haughty and look at other people for who they are and think that they're outside of God's reach is wrong, because we ourselves were just like the rest, children of wrath. But verse 4, the motive, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. Because of his great love with which he loved us, he, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive. The whole motive of Christ for sinners was God's love for that which is unlovable. Sinners, those who are under the power of the evil one. Sinners, those who are dead in their sins and trespasses. Sinners. Romans 5:8. You have to go backwards, sorry. Don't want you to get in a routine. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us in this. God displays, God demonstrates, God proves that he loves us in this way. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He doesn't wait for us to get good enough. He doesn't wait for us to come to him, because we never will. We never can. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. One last passage. Passage. 1 John chapter 4. Again, verse 9 and 10. In this, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this, the love of God was made known among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. The love of God was being displayed. God is love. He's displaying that love. How? By sending his Son into the world to redeem sinners. For God so loved the world. The motive for Christ for sinners was God. His initiative, his desire, his purpose, his great love. Two, think about the offer in the exchange. In cash for clunkers, you trade in your old car and you can get $3,500 to $4,500 towards the purchase of a new car. So you trade in your old car, you get money to put right towards the new car. The offer that we get in the exchange for Christ for sinners is this: God gave Christ for our sins, and he gives us Christ's righteousness. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The glorious truth of the gospel is that we who were sinners get Christ's righteousness, and Christ who was righteous dies in our place. Right? Instead of you going to the cross, instead of you suffering God's wrath, instead of you having the heavy hand of the Father upon you for the justice that is deserved for your sin, Christ bore our sins. What did it say? We all like sheep have gone astray, each after our own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. In God's love, he crucified his Son. Isaiah 53:10. It was the will of God to crush him. Acts 2. You killed, according to God's definite purpose and plan, Christ. God pours out on him every just punishment for my sins and for those of you who are believers. And what he does is he gives to those of us who believe Christ's righteous obedience. You get stinking $4,500 for your car, but in this exchange, you get Christ's righteousness. Is that not unbelievable? You get what you don't deserve, and he got what he didn't deserve. That's awesome. Three, the demands of the exchange. In cash for clunkers, there were certain things. You couldn't just bring in any old car. Cars had to be less than 25 years old. They had to get 18 miles per gallon or less. They had to be drivable. You had to have insurance on them. You couldn't just go down to the junkyard and pick out a car and bring it in and get $4,500. Right, Jim? You had to, in a sense, have your own insurance on that car. The demands of the exchange in Christ for sinners is this: faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. In Christ's offer of redemption, there is no restriction. It's not limited by race. It's not limited by age. It's not limited by condition. We are all sinners. Every one of us, no matter how bad, how wretched, how broken, how wicked, how depraved, how unlovely, how distorted we are, Christ died for us. Just think about it. Christ died for bad people. We don't like to think of ourselves that way, but we were God's enemies. Christ died for bad people, for dirty people, for wicked people. Let's put it more graphic. He died for murderers. He died for molesters. He died for violent criminals. Who was hanging by him on the cross? Today you will be with me in paradise. He died for you. He died for me. He died for wicked, wretched people. And until we recognize that that's who we are, in need of a holy God to do something, we will not be saved. And as Christians, we should never forget. And as he says in Corinthians, and so were some of you. None of us in this room were perfect before we came to Christ. Every one of us in this room deserved death. The only requirement, it's not age, it's not race, it's not money, it's not any of those things. The only requirement that is necessary in order for this exchange to occur is faith. Whoever believes in him. This faith, two components. It has a head knowledge, understanding who Christ is and what he did and what his death means. And the thing is, though, it's more than just head knowledge. There's a lot of people who grow up in churches that have head knowledges of Christ and they're not saved. That's one of my greatest fears. We prayed about it this morning as we were here. There are some of you in this room that the evil one has deceived into thinking that you're saved because you have a head knowledge, but even Satan himself believes in Christ and is not saved. And some of you here, you believe, you say, oh, I believe in Christ, but it's not a heart knowledge. It has not affected the way that you live. It hasn't caused you to feel great remorse and great brokenness over your sin. You still enjoy it. You still say it's not a big deal. The scripture tells us clearly, examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith, because just because you say you believe does not mean you believe. Jesus will say, I never knew some of you. Because all you have is a head knowledge. It requires a heart knowledge, a heart that has changed, a heart that has become flesh, passionate for what God says and what his word commands. The exchange, the demands of the exchange for us is faith. The results of the exchange. Think about this. In cash for clunkers, you get money. But you get money to put down on a new car. And those cars, some of them are awesome, aren't they? They're beautiful. Fords are beautiful. I'm making up for a statement about Fords a couple weeks ago. Hondas are lovely. Toyotas, they do their thing. But the reality is, that car is going to cost you. You're going to have a payment. And you know what's going to happen to that car? It eventually itself is going to become a clunker. It itself is going to rust. It itself is going to break down. It too will deteriorate. Its value will depreciate. It will not be that beautiful new car that you are signing and making payments for. It'll fall apart. It'll break. Not that great a deal, really. But with this exchange, with Christ for sinners, we get two things. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They go hand in hand, but what we get, the results of this exchange, is we get to not die. All of us as sinners will physically die. The results of sin entering into the world is death. Death to the body, physical deterioration. But what he's talking about is even more than just physical death. It is spiritual death. The wages of sin is death. Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, just as it is appointed for man to die once, and then comes judgment. Everyone, as sinners, will stand before the holy God. As Revelation chapter 21 says, he will open up the books. And for those outside of Christ, there is no hope. There is no certainty. There is no one, no advocate, no mediator, no one to intercede and to say, my righteousness has provided atonement for their sins. And as Scripture says in Hebrews, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is not the big man upstairs. He's not my homeboy. He is the holy God, the righteous God, the almighty, all-powerful, all-consuming fire God. And he will deal with sin. He didn't let his son slide. When his son became that sin offering, he crushed him. And how much more you as a sinner? But what we get in the exchange is not that death, because Christ has taken our place, because we've got his righteousness, because we stand in him, because his death has paid our price. He pays the debt that we owe. We will not die. They shall not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. What we get is eternal life. And that doesn't just mean when we die, but it means even now. When we come to faith in Christ, what we as believers have is eternal life now in us, in our hearts, welling up within us, causing us to be joyful and to have a hope. Somebody in my Sunday school class said this morning, somebody asked them how they could have a hope because of their conditions in which they lived or they worked or whatever. And because of Christ, we see the things of this world as temporary and is not as significant as the world does. When people die, we have a hope. When things come our way that are suffering, and in the weeks to come, we're going to talk about that. That's suffering. When suffering comes, we're able to still have hope because we know whatever my lot you have taught me to say, what did we sing? It is well with my soul. Why? Because there is a sovereign God who is controlling and ruling and governing and protecting and doing all things for good for us. But we do have a joy and we have a hope that is different from the world. That's why Peter says, be ready to give an answer for the joy that is in you when people ask. But it's not just eternal life in this life, but it's eternal life in the life to come. Every one of us in this room, if the Lord does not return, will die. And for those of us who are believers, that's really a good thing. No more sin, no more suffering, no more pain, no more deterioration, no more struggling with that the sin nature that rears its head in our body, right? But the thing that so many of us look for is we say, oh, when we go to be with the Lord, we'll see our other family members who've died before us, and yeah, that's true. But most of all, what we get is Christ. We get to eat at his banqueting table. We get to see the hands and the sides that were pierced for us. We get to see the very one that we have had hope and faith in for so long. And what is so wonderful is, unlike cash for clunkers, that does not last. This eternal life does. It does not deteriorate. It does not rot. It will not go away. It will not be taken from us. It is sealed and secured on our hearts because of the Holy Spirit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should or will have eternal life. And let me just say this last one, number 5, the time frame for this exchange. with Cash for Clunkers. There was a couple of weeks or months or however long it lasted, but the deadline was this Monday. If you didn't get it in by this Monday, too bad. Until next year or the next time they do it or whatever, right? But too bad, it's done for now. And I would say this, is one way in which Christ and the clunkers are similar. There is also a time limit with Christ's exchange offer. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Every one of us in this room, as I said, will die, but the reality is none of us in this room know when. None of us know when. Lord willing, we pray that it's not today, but there may be somebody in this room who has a heart attack today, or there may be somebody in this room who dies in a car accident today. We do not know the measure of our days, and we do not know when the Lord will call us to give an account. And because of that, those of you who are outside of Christ, what I would tell you is this: listen, today is the day of salvation. The Bible warns us in many places, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart to the offer. Do not harden your heart to the exchange that God is saying, I have given you my Son. I have given you life for your sinful nature, for who and what you are and what you've done. I have made forgiveness and provisions. And see, what you're hearing now in your head is, I'm not good enough. I've done too many bad things. That is a lie from the devil. He does not want you to come to faith. There is nothing that anyone in this room has done that would disqualify them from faith, from salvation, from life, from being a part of this offer. What he is doing and what the temptation is to harden your heart to, is he's calling you to exchange your sinful ways for the great gift of life and peace and joy that comes through Christ. So I, as a minister of the gospel, for those of you who do not know Christ, I implore you, as Paul says, be reconciled to God. The only way to be reconciled to God is by trusting in Christ alone for salvation. In the cross of Christ, I glory. There is no other way. If there was, God would have done it that way. But he crucified his Son so that we could have life. So the question then for you is this: how do I get this exchange? For those of you who are not believers, how do I get this exchange? The car dealer, you go down to the car dealer and you tell him you want to do this Cash for Clunkers. The scripture tells us this: what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Not just that head knowledge, but that heart knowledge. That it comes in confessing to the Lord that you've sinned, recognizing that you deserve death. You deserve what Christ got on the cross. But because of Christ and because of his death, God, you're saying to God, God, I want that righteousness. I want Christ's righteousness. I'm asking you, Father, to forgive me through Christ. I'm asking you to deal with me as you would your Son. Give me his righteousness before you. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I have broken your ways. Lord, I have stumbled. Lord, I have turned away. Lord, I've been hard-hearted. Lord, I've ignored your offers. Lord, I've been all of these wicked things in my life. I've been blinded to the truth. But Lord, today I want Christ. I want Christ. I want him in my life. I want forgiveness, and I know it comes only through Christ. And as the scripture says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of all unrighteousness. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to give you a new heart. Ask the Lord to put his Spirit in you. In a minute, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you, if you are wanting Christ, if you are saying, I need Christ, I need him in my life, I'm hopeless, I need him, I want this exchange, I don't know when my life is going to end, I want it today while it's available. Today is the day that God is doing a work in my heart. I want him today. when we close, I'm going to ask you to come up here. We don't do that often, but I want you today. I want to pray with you because my fear is that you're going to go home and the evil one is going to want to come in and he's going to want to take that word and he's going to rob it from your hearts. And so if you're saying, I want Christ, I want Him in my life, I'm trusting in Him, I have trusted in Him, will you pray with me? We'll be over here as well, and we'll pray with you at the end. And ask that the Lord would confirm in your heart the commitments that you're making to Him today. Christ for sinners, the greatest exchange. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we give you great praise, those of us who are believers, that you exchanged our filthy rags for the righteousness of Christ. You've given us life through Him. Father, in a few minutes we'll celebrate these elements, recognizing that by His death and by His blood we are saved. Father, we pray that our hearts would never grow cold to the fact that we have been given His righteousness. Fathers, for others in here this morning, Lord, maybe even now their hearts are burning within them. They recognize that they are dead in their sins. They recognize that they're far from you. Lord, I pray that now your quickening spirit would move in their hearts and call them to faith, call them to life. And Lord, that even today, as your word says, that it would be the day of their salvation. We ask all of these things through Christ. Amen.